Hello, guys. Welcome back to episode number 7 of The Trading Desk. I am Jason Main. Thank you for coming back in. And as you notice, this is not Josh Thanos. This is?
No, this is me, CQ the Watch Guy, you know, the comeback kid. That's my new name here.
So this is Sequan. Sequan is also a trader. I know you guys have seen him on some of the newest episodes of The Classroom.
Yes, thanks. Thanks for your love so much on The Classroom, guys. Stay tuned. So many more great episodes coming out.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty well received, and it was some great content. I've seen some of the newer stuff that's coming in on The Classroom. I saw the one John did, and some of your other ones, and the content's really good, and you guys seem to be receiving it well, so that's awesome. CQ, for the guys that don't know him, is also a trader, so similar to what Josh and I do, or exactly the same, actually. He buys, sells, and trades watches all the time, and Josh couldn't be here this week, so we thought we'd bring Sequan on and talk about some watches.
The truth is, I kicked Josh off the show today. I just felt like he shouldn't be here. And I
all
felt
the way
like
back to Florida.
All the way back to Florida. I got big shoes on, so I made it work. So, you know, I'm here stepping in. Good to be here. Good to have some fun talking watches.
Absolutely. So, quick shout-out to our guys on the chat who are signing in now. Always quicker than us. So, Matt Forrester, so Edwin Lennon, John T.
Robert Dixon, always
Kobe,
there.
Kobe, Robert Dixon. I know Ahmad's going to be in shortly. He told me he wasn't going to miss it, so you guys will see him soon. We got kind of a cool show for you guys tonight, so before we get into that, I think we're going to do some wrist checks, as per tradition. So we'll go ahead and pan in on this guy here.
You go first,
I'm actually going to do a non-wrist check. You guys know this watch very well. This is my well-loved and very well-worn 114060. So that's going to be a ceramic newest generation non-date sub. My particular version is 2014, although the newest generation is unchanged. You know, some battle scars on this guy, but I wouldn't change it for anything. I wear this watch 90% of the time, I would say. And CQ can attest to that.
Yeah, that's definitely your daily driver.
Yeah. And real quick, before we throw a curveball here, ooh, just for the guys,
that's nice.
Because I know this will make 90% of you happy and the other 10 will hate me, but this kind of matches something that I'm wearing on my wrist right now, which is going to be my, when we get into the segment of watches I bought this week. But just remember these very angular lines of this custom knife.
I love that.
Yeah, nice little knife. And what are you wearing today?
All right, let's see if I can get a little wrist shot. Bell & Ross, BR01-96. Just time only with a big date. I just love the size on my wrist. I'm a big fan of Bell & Ross, you know, both their square watches and the round ones. And I just, you know, I just felt like switching up today. Got my nice big date and just clean and simple beyond that. Just clean, classy, does the job, to be honest with
you. There you
go. Nothing wrong with that. I love this watch.
So you've sold Bell & Ross new, right?
Yeah, I sold Bell & Ross new and pre-owned, of course.
I've sold Bell & Ross new and entirely pre-owned, but new as well. We actually had a Bell & Ross training a couple days ago, which kind of further instilled my love for the brand. But big things coming for Bell & Ross soon. But
fun brand.
So we have a This or That this week, as we normally do, through the format of the show. So This or That, Sequan and I kind of sat down. We talked about what's the next $5,000 that you're going to spend, right? So his money, my money, what's the next $5,000? So as you see in the top, what we came up with was, we're going to buy a chronograph. What's the next $5,000 you spent? So my pick for the first chronograph that came to mind, as I always tell you guys, my big thing with the This or That is I think of watches that I want. That's the first thing I think about. And I think that helps me as a trader when I'm talking to clients. What's the watch that I really want? So for me, the This or That is this beautiful Zenith El Primero tricolor. And this is a watch I've wanted for a long time. It's completely obtainable. Just never quite pulled the trigger on it. You can see the El Primero there through the skeleton back. But this is the 42mm version of this watch, which I prefer to the larger version. Just beautiful tricolor dial. Obviously, the classic El Primero at 5 hertz. Just fantastic movement. Something that is at home in anybody's watch collection, regardless of how many pieces or what kind of piece you want to buy. And that can be had with box and papers in phenomenal condition for $5,000.
That's a good choice.
Yeah. And your that to my this?
So, you know, it's interesting. I didn't know I was going to do this show until maybe a few hours, you know, after we got into work today. And he's like, hey, we're going to do a chronograph under five. And I just went with the first thing that popped into my head. I was this Bremont Alt 1 seat. I'm a big fan of Vermont. This time last year, I was wearing a Solo all summer, hiking up and down Alaska. I really enjoyed a hardened steel case. And I'm a big fan of a dual register chronograph as well. So to me, you got a nice, simple, classy laydown, especially with the layout, especially with the numerals going around it. I love the cream dial. I think it looks good on this strap. I think it looks good on a lighter strap as well. And I think this thing is a cool, classy chronograph. Of course, you're going to say, it's not an El Primero, and you're going to attack me for that. But sometimes you just kind of like what you like. And I think this pilot's watch, this chronograph, just really, I don't know, it just does it for me, if that makes sense. And you can't beat that hardened steel that they use over there, Bremont. And I just love the whole history of the brand. I just kind of, I don't know, kind of buy into that watch. I'm a big fan of Zenon as well. But vote the Bremont, guys. You know you want to vote with CQ. So just do the right thing.
So I will say, I like Bremont as well. I don't think it's definitely not on the same quality level. So I gave Sequan, I told him, $5,000, pick a chronograph, and he sent me this watch. And I asked him, are you sure? Because I don't want people to think that this is rigged, because actually Josh won last week, so shout out
to
Josh.
Oh, wow.
Who won his first this or that. We found out afterwards.
Kudos.
So I told him I would mention that. But, people, I don't want them to think it's rigged. So we'll pull up the poll. I know we have a poll tonight for these this or that.
No.
I know you're going to lose because...
I need at least a couple of votes, guys. It can't be just, you know, 100%
throw
him
some
zero.
Votes. Bremont is a great brand, but this is, in all honesty, like a $2,500 watch.
Yeah, no, 100%. And so, again, you know...
let's even the odds, right? $2,500 in your bank account and this watch, and you're on your way to shopping to the second watch, or do you buy the Zenith?
Exactly. Like, we have this Romano for $2,750. You could buy this and another watch. You could buy a nice time-only piece as well. So much options you could take. You know, you could have a vacation. You could rent a Lambo for a day.
And if only that was the purpose of this or that, but it's not.
The Bremont's gonna win. I'm gonna will it telepathically into the YouTube poll.
If that was possible, Thanos would have done that by now.
Well, you know, he doesn't have the mental fortitude.
All right, so let's get to the meat and potatoes of this, right? Sat down, I thought about what can we do that's kind of cool, and so it's not, again, this week's not going to be so much of a market analysis. I think it's going to be a little bit more of a trader's perspective on a market shift or a market education, I would say. So what I was thinking about was, what can we talk about that's rather entertaining, which is basically how you get started. So I wanted to talk about your collector, right? Your beginner collector, your intermediate collector, and your advanced collector, right? These are guys we talk to all the time.
Yeah.
We're going to talk to all three of those guys multiple times on the same day, right? So there's a lot of things about those three types of guys that are the same. And then there's a lot of things that aren't. And what I find appealing is a lot of the stuff that's not isn't necessarily budget, right? A lot of the stuff that's not the same is the path of how you get from A to Z, right? So the education in between A to Z is what we're going to talk about, right? So basically, you know, Sequan and I sat down and we talked about this a little bit and what we were going to talk about. And for part of me, the education from A to Z, the journey, is how to differentiate the hunt versus your collection and enjoying it for you.
That's a good point.
So a lot of guys, the forum guys, a lot of guys that are, you know, it's all about the Instagram guys. It's all about the next kill, right? And you can't stop to think about the watch you just bought and enjoy it and wear it for 3 months, because you get it, the hunt's done, it goes in the watch box, and now you're chasing the next one. And albeit, that's great for me, that's great for Sequan, it's great for our company because the wheels keep turning. But I feel like, personally, as a collector, I've done this. I've done it with knives, I've done it with cars, I've done it with guns, I've done it with watches. I find it more gratifying when I can say, you know, I wanted this watch for 6 months, a year, and I did all the research, and I figured it out. I figured out how to get it. The watch has more meaning to me, and I wear it every single day, knowing that that watch, you know, I hunted that watch down, as opposed to just the next kill posted on Instagram, get your fame, you know,
exactly,
and move on.
And
what are your thoughts on this?
I agree. I think it's very important when you start to, like, go down this path of collecting watches, kind of figure out which kind of collector you are. You know, some guys really enjoy the hunt, and as you say, as soon as they buying that rare watch, you know, wherever it may be, they buy it, then on to the next one. And that's okay. You know, if you're financially able to do that and, you know, you have unlimited supply of funds, why not? But for some guys, you might want to think a little bit more, because I do find that situation where we get a call guy, he just bought watch X. And he's like, oh, you know, I was hunting for this for a long time, and I got it, and I want to get this next watch. But hey, I'm going to take a bath on this watch. He's like, hey, you just got it. You know, right. You really got to kind of do a little bit more research. And for some guys, maybe going the vintage route for the majority of your hunting watches, and maybe you do buy modern pieces, but those watches you like to hunt, you go vintage, like vintage Omega, Longines, where you can still get that feeling of, oh, I'm hunting for something special. I'm kind of digging through all these archives, and but you're not losing all your, you know, sure, your clothes on every deal.
It's an interesting perspective. So
you definitely got to think it out.
Kind of focusing your hunt, I guess you would say, but that's interesting.
Yeah.
So that's a big part of it for me, and obviously I could speak to that in length, and we only have so long on this show, so I'm not going to do that, but I'm going to roll into some of the pieces here. So I have kind of an idea with some of the product we had in store. For me, this is your beginner collector, right? A beginner collector to me is not a guy who has, you know, X amount of watches. A beginner collector to me is a guy who has had a few watches and is now getting ready to start the research behind a watch, yep, right? So a beginner collector is not a guy that likes to buy Breitlings, because, you know, a beginner collecting in nature for me is, all right, what do I want to buy? And let me find, you know, do the research and find what I want. So for me, a beginner collector, you know, I could see this guy right here. This is a Bell & Ross 126 chronograph. I believe this is the flyback model Golden Heritage, which I actually like this watch. I would wear this watch, even though I have a few pieces that are higher end than this. I still love this watch. I think it's a lot of watch for the money. So for me, a beginner collector's looking for a watch like this, where he's going to spend $5,000 and he's going to say, this actually would have been a good this or that.
Yeah,
he's going to spend $5,000. Now he's starting to think, well, you know, I can get a chronograph for that. Well, let's not stop there. I can get a flyback for that. Right. So now we're looking for value for money, which is to me where the collecting aspect starts. So this is my pick off the wall for something that I would consider a beginner collector.
I think this is a great pick, too, because you got your flyback chronograph. There's a GMT sub-dial on there as well. And I think that's another main thing, is kind of figure out what kind of complications you like. You know, do you like chronographs? Do you not like chronographs? Don't just jump into a watch because everybody else is buying that watch, because you might jump into it and then be like, oh, well, I really don't like this watch. You know, so really kind of think out, try as much as you can, especially if it's a new piece, to get into a boutique or get into a store, you know, come visit us, try that watch on, or something as close as a watch as possible, so you actually know what's going on before just kind of strapping something on. But I think that's a great opener to a collection.
I think that watch. A Bell & Ross really does, and again, we just talked about, we had this training, but it really does speak well to the guy who's going to spend $2,500 to $6,000 and trying to find something that'll fit a niche, because they are rather different for what they are for the money. So it's a good entryway.
Still too, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's still relatively small in the market, but, you know, you're not going to see a bunch of people wearing them, but they're cool.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to go spend, let's say, $1,500 on a watch that you're going to eventually throw away, like a 7 Friday or you know, like a limited edition G-Shock or something like that, even though I love G-Shock, I've had a few, I beat the hell out of them, but, you know, neither here nor there. So this is, for me, I was thinking about what's a good intermediate, right, collector watch. So for me, when I think intermediate, now the guy's, you know, doing some research, he's thinking, well, what are the holy trinity, what is, can I step up one level, spend the same kind of money or a little bit more, let's say double the money, but still kind of doesn't know his path, right? Still kind of searching for the thing that makes him you know, really love the watch for him, right? Because I think a big part of this is in the beginning, at least most people start collecting watches or start getting into watches for what they look like on their wrist,
yep,
and also what kind of attention they get for wearing that watch. And I think as you step through the path of becoming intermediate and then advanced, you start to love the watch for what it is and for what you see in it, and not, so you start buying for you and not for other people, which is similar to most hobbies. So this is the Millinari AP, and albeit it's a pretty watch,
yeah,
it's not my favorite AP, and I've obviously kind of have a thing for skeleton watches. They don't really sit well with me, but I have liked this watch for a little while. This watch is, I said it last week, it's a term that we refer to, which is kind of derogatory. It's called a dog. It's not the best piece on the market.
No.
Right? But a deal can be had, right?
100%.
You can get into this watch for relatively modest money when we're talking about high-end AP. You know, this is a Rolex priced piece in an AP watch, right? And you get a lot for your money.
100%. You do get a lot for your money. It is, you know, a beautiful combination of the movement and the dial, oval case there. Everything sits on a different level. It's an awesome watch. You know, I wonder sometimes, like, if I was in an industry and I wasn't, like, I was, you know, work manager, authorized AP store for a while, and selling that watch is probably the hardest sale that you could do because it's so unlike AP, even though it's so unique and so beautiful. Somebody has to really be either looking for that, or somebody has to really be in a stage and they're collecting to be very open or very young into collecting to really fall in love with that watch, because you do take quite a bit of a hit on the pre-owned side. So it's a super cool piece, but definitely, as you say, it is one of those pieces where it kind of opens you up a little bit, and then depending if you're somebody, I don't know, because some people, if you're really into movements, you really want to see everything kind of exposed like that, it is really cool. So there are people who love this as a keeper watch, but if you're somebody who might trade this one day, maybe don't even get into it as one of those watches, you know?
So yeah, full disclosure, I mean, I always recommend everybody goes pre-owned first, unless it's like, you know, your grandparents buying you a watch for your graduation, you know, or something like that, or the watch just came out and it's not obtainable in a secondary market, look at pre-owned. It's a viable option. You just want to make sure you're buying from somebody like us, who's a reputable dealer, who knows what they're talking about. You want to be able to give a person a phone call. But something like this AP that we just discussed can be had pre-owned, obviously, tremendous discount from retail. And, you know, going into the fact that that's an intermediate collector, in my opinion, it's a watch that you're going to finally realize maybe down the road that you may want to trade out of it. And buying pre-owned is going to help you do that without taking a total bath on it. So we'll move right along to, I know that the comments, everybody's in here. You keep an eye on some of those comments.
Yeah, no, it's fine. Right now they're having the regular, you know, is a CB. Can you get a FE Jean Chronometry Blue? Can somebody go and touch it? So we're having that little battle in there,
if you find a CB in a
buy it.
First of all, if you find one in a case, 99% of the time it's going to be a dummy watch, right? We've talked about that. All the Jean watches besides the quartz pieces. The Elegante 48s and the Elegante women pieces are going to be dummies because Jorn cannot produce watches to an extent to put them to fill cases. So they build these dummy watches. They're the exact fit and finish. You can see the watch on your wrist.
The weight even.
But then you can't. Obviously, the watch doesn't work. But in full disclosure, I'd probably wear one of those dummy watches.
Oh, yeah, all day. Because they're really, like, really spot on. And sometimes I wish other brands do it, especially, I know, as a manager of a Patek store, you know, teaching new associates how to handle a piece and just store wear that just comes from, you know, polished gold sometimes gets scratched, so just from breathing on it. So it's nice to have the dummy pieces out there, and then when somebody's really at that final stage of acquiring that piece, you can pull out the real product, and it's, like, really minty, never touched. So, but if you get a CB,
the CBs are almost impossible to get now. Secondary markets over retail on the piece.
Yeah.
So if you walk into an AD and they say that they have one, throw all of your money at them and thank them very much.
Yeah.
So we're going to move into what I would consider an advanced collector. This guy here, I mean, why don't you talk about this watch a little bit? I'll let you have
I love this watch. Laurent Ferrier is probably right now probably one of my top brands that I just fell in love with over, you know, the past year and a half. Really, really modern designs. I'm a big fan of Patek, and to me, Laurent Ferrier is just a very modern Patek. I don't know, something about it is just very, very sophisticated and refined. The movements are just outstanding. If you ever get a chance to see one in person, which is very hard, I think they make 120 pieces a year or something around that number.
When I talked to him, I think it was like 140 to 160 pieces.
Mm-hmm. So it's a very, very low production. Maybe Dufour is maybe smaller than that. This one's the Galet Traveler World.
This is the world. This is the South America.
South America. So, you know, hand-painted enamel dial. Such a deep blue. Such a big dial. What you have to think about, especially enamel world timers, there's a few out there from a few different brands. What I love about this encompasses the whole dial. You know, so you see everything. The depth of the ocean is awesome. The coloring is beautiful. And it's truly a work of art. And this is definitely for the advanced collector, somebody who really, really knows what they're looking for in a watch. They're maybe somebody who travels travels a lot, but somebody who also appreciates the fine craftsmanship that goes into a watch, like the Laurent Ferrier Traveler, but also the quality of the enamel craftsmanship as well.
See if we can get the three-dimensional aspect of this enamel.
It's outstanding, and it does have that little three-dimensional depth. You know, the cameras make it look a little brighter, but it's just a beautiful piece. So definitely somebody who's at that stage, you have a few Pateks in the collection already, you have a few Effigeur and just things of that nature, and you just want something really, really special, I definitely suggest Laurent Ferrier, and that Galet Travel is just outstanding.
Yeah, so all the Ferriers are fantastic and would definitely qualify as, you know, again, like I said, I don't quantify, you know, the advanced collector with a certain price point. But for me, even though this happens to be the most expensive of the three, not necessarily intentional, for me, what this watch stands for is that all the tiny, minute little details that you pay extra money for are for you, right? Yep. So the micro rotor on the back, that's all, everything's done by hand. That movement is, in my opinion, prettier than a dial.
Yeah,
right.
I wear that backwards.
We joke about in the office, you know, I would just flip it around and wear it the other way on certain watches, right? The Dato, right? Yeah. I've said that before. Oh, the Datograph 39, I flip that around. I would love to just stare into that movement. Who cares what the time is? But same thing with this watch. So that's kind of like a hidden treasure that's for you. And the dial's gorgeous, but then when you look down into the date wheel and all, you know, and the finishing on the date wheel, stuff like that is what makes this an advanced piece. Where when you're buying something like the Bell & Ross, you know, you're ecstatic at that point because you're getting a GMT flyback, automatic chronograph, Swiss-made watch with the sapphire crystal, and you're only spending X amount of money, but you don't even know yet what could be, right? What exists. So that the guy that, you know, I see some comments in the chat, and people are like, well, what if the beginning collector has an X budget, right? There's unlimited money.
Yep.
But that guy is beginning his path. He doesn't even know that something like the Laurent Ferrier exists, right? Or doesn't even know that some of the details that are the differential between these two watches are so vast. So really what I really wanted to hammer home is that it's not about a price point, right? It's not about what the watch is. It's about the collection, right? Now you can do it with anything, right? You start building one car and then you learn, well, maybe I should have gone for this, or maybe 100%. I should. So it's about refining the process, and it's about the evolution of the collector. And yeah, that's kind of what we wanted to talk
about. Yeah, you know, absolutely right. You know, you just got to figure out whatever strums your heart strings, if that makes sense, whatever you like about a watch or like in your collection, and then follow your path. Of course, education is key. Always got a good watch guy on your side, you know, like a trader like us, somebody who'll be honest and tell you, you know, which way to go. Always try to go pre-owned first, I'd say, unless it's a situation where you can't get the piece. But if you, especially in the beginning stages of your collecting, if you don't really know what you like, try to go pre-owned. Try it on first, even if you sell that and buy it brand new down the road,
right. You
know, at least figure out what you like instead of diving into something and then, you know, kind of burning yourself.
Well, in the same point that, like, similar to, you know, I'll bring up Thanos again, but similar to that, like, Josh has watches in his collection that other people don't like.
Yeah,
you know, 100%. And I have watches in my collection that people are like, why would you wear that? But it does it for me, and that, those watches do it for him. And part of collecting and, you know, the knives too and the gun, all that stuff is, you know, the evolution of what you like and the refinement of what makes you happy and what you can justify for the money, and not worrying about what somebody else cares, is really part of the process. So yeah. With that being said, and you guys can let us know in the comments, you know, you can text me, email me, whatever you think. If you think this is a good topic and maybe we can, you know, dive back into this and get a little bit more detailed, let me know what you think, because I could talk about this all day long. In the interest of moving the show along and kind of, you know, I know it's Friday night, you guys are driving home or you're wrapping up your work day.
You want to do a quick question?
Sure.
15202 versus 15400 blue dial.
So that's a weird question for me, because a year ago I would have told you 15400.
Right.
I have worn a lot of 15400s and been dissatisfied as of recent. I know you and I have talked about this.
Yeah, this is true.
With some of the fit and finish, and I think that some of that is AP pushing them out. I think the 15202 is a better watch. I think it's better on the secondary market. I think it sits better on most people's wrist. You know, you really don't need the larger 15400. No. I think the 15202 sits fine on a wrist. I have a 7 3/4 inch wrist, 7.5 inch wrist. And for me, it works. Yeah. So I'd probably go 15-202.
All right, good. That was just bouncing around in the the chat there.
So I have one. We have one other topic. Before we do this, I just want to pull. Can we pull up the poll again, real quick?
Let's see. This or that? I'm above 1%. Somebody voted for the Vermont. Please. Hey, there you go. 15%.
There you go.
By the curve, I think I'm winning. You know, if we put,
I think,
if we put like a ratio on that.
You may be losing worse than Thanos ever has.
That's okay. I'm representing Thanos this round.
All right. So we have one segment left at the end of this show, which we usually do, which is watches that we purchased this week. This is a segment that admittedly I'm going to get murdered in. Because Saquon purchased something rather special this week. A big deal for him. And he brought it on the show with you. And I purchased something that I like for me. Kind of test driving. I think I might want to buy one soon or eventually. But this watch is affordable, whereas that is not. So I'm going to let you actually have the floor and talk about your pick or your piece that you bought this week that you're bringing on the show.
All right.
And since these guys were just talking about AP in the chat box, I think they're going to like both of these watches.
I guess I'll go here. We'll line up. So this is a Royal Oak Tourbillon, 44 millimeter. I think this came out in the early 2000s. Renard and Poppy movement. And I just love this watch. 44 millimeter chronograph, yellow gold. It's not an offshore. So it's thick, but it's not like overpowering on the wrist at all. This one's really nice. You usually only see this on a leather strap. If you search all over for it right now, you only find a leather strap. I had a really good client who put the bracelet on it, got it serviced, and then sent it, traded it into us or something else. And this baby's perfect. I love this watch, one, because I love AP. I love gold watches. It's huge. It's almost a pound. But you got like a really awesome Renard and Poppy Tourbillon movement in there. So you got the best of both worlds. If you want a big, bulky watch, you got that. If you want something made by the masters, you have that as well. And something that honestly you really don't see very often. You might see this in a small 39 millimeter, but the 44 is just not on the market because for a bigger guy, it is really just awesome.
Yeah,
I might try to take this home. I don't
know. One of the things about that watch, it actually is quite special. And when I heard that he was working on a deal for it, obviously, we were all excited to see it. But when you put that watch on your wrist, I mean, have you ever felt more like, you know, Pablo Escobar?
No.
While you put that watch on your wrist.
I will say, I've worn the Pounder.
Yeah.
The offshore on the bracelet. And I've worn the Platinum.
This is infinitely a better watch than the Pounder.
All day.
So just so you guys realize, it sits probably about, that sits about 5 millimeters thinner than the Pounder.
All day.
And, you know, the platform for that case, the middle case, the bracelet sits really well. It's a pretty watch. And without me getting into it too much, I kind of think tourbillons are silly and I don't like them very much. But that's something to consider on that watch, point aside.
At the end of the day, a tourbillon is an anti-gravity machine. Right.
Tourbillon,
I have an anti-gravity machine on my wrist, and I love it.
Tourbillon, you can call it what you want. Tourbillon's a fancy way to spend a lot of money.
Yeah.
So the watch I purchased this week, you noticed that the Rolex was off my wrist. So it takes something special to take that watch off my wrist. But I actually have been wearing this for the last 2 hours or so. This is the watch I purchased this week. You guys know this as the Diver. This is the second generation, so this one has the transparent case back. So you can see the movement. There is no AP that's more comfortable than this watch.
Yeah, I
agree. Would you agree? So this watch has to be worn kind of tightly. I mean, you bunker this watch, you know, you hunker it down to your wrist, and the way that the case is designed and the case back and the lugs, it sits rather flat on the wrist for such a large watch. And I happen to enjoy this quite a bit. One other guy in our office owns this watch in a black first generation, so the closed case back. And he loves it, and I've been thinking about getting one for a while. So, very comfortable watch for the size. So, if you guys like a big AP and you're not chasing a 15-400, I think this is the most comfortable AP you can buy for the money. All right. I'm going to get to all these comments in the chat box, and we're going to tally everything up. I don't think we need to go to the poll because you got slaughtered.
You never know. You can vote right now, guys. Vote for that Vermont. It's you know, I'm not going to say it's a better movement, but it's a beautiful watch, and it should win tonight.
Yeah,
just I don't think there's, you know, Vermont deserves a win.
I don't think beautifuling the El Primero.
I'm not comparing
the tricolor,
you know,
dial mixed with that movement. I don't think you can outdo it. All right. So we're going to wrap this one up. Thank you guys for tuning into episode number 7. I appreciate the support of Sequan coming onto the show on late notice.
Anytime is awesome, man.
I appreciate you guys in the comment box following us. You can follow me on Instagram. It's EvoX4B11. You can see my cell phone number down there. You can text me as well as Sequan. You can text us, call us. If you get a voicemail, please text me. What's your Instagram?
CQ under the watch guy. You can always hit me up there. You can WhatsApp me or text me at 340-998-6080. But a CQ underscore the watch guy Instagram is the best way. You know, I'm always lurking.
Otherwise, you'll see us on here or you'll see Sequan on the classroom.
Yep. New shows on Wednesdays and Fridays. Mm-hmm. Every Wednesday and Friday.
All right. That's it. I think we're done. We're going to call that a wrap. Okay.